is a time when magic is more powerful than science, and only those who control the magic control destiny. They are the visionaries.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, kicking it in the groove in the year 2023, like the G's that we are. This is Knowing It's Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
What happened?
What
was that? Jesus.
I heard a friend reference being at the gathering of the Juggalos, and I thought I would just try this persona out that's a little hipper. Did it work? Did that sell for you guys?
Shout out to friend of the show, Grady Welch.
That's right.
Has he been on the show before?
I want to say yes. He's definitely judged who would win.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
He has.
Okay.
I want to say we had him on once, and then like I was like, well, you gotta come on Who Would Win.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I don't know at this point.
NecroGobbleCon feels like it should be the patron saint
Necronomicon. Like
it should be the house band of our show,
the Necronomicon,
the NecroGobbleCon.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyway, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Abelito.
I had to get to cue it up a second time because I knew we were never going to get there organically. We were talking about a show, not G.I. Joe. Look, we have some G.I. Joe coming, some G.I. Joe Sigma 6. What's crazy is, and okay, I'm going to set the record straight here, is that according to the official G.I. Joe page, the episode that we just watched for Sigma 6 is called Race, about the Baroness driving a car and they're racing against her. The problem is, I looked ahead one episode, the next episode is called Jungle, and the description of the episode in the official G.I. Joe YouTube page is the episode we watched that we thought was called Race.
I think the type setting
for both episodes 6 and 7 got flipped.
No.
And so, as you know, the episode in our feed is called Race, or is it Jungle? And the next time we do G.I. Joe will be called Jungle, or is it Race?
Well, now we're going to have to start all over again with the original G.I. Joe.
You want this so bad. You want this. Gina is really pushing us on this right now.
Oh, God.
We're not even close to being done.
I think you would both enjoy rewatching original. I'm not saying going back to the beginning and like rewatching everything from Sunbow on. I'm saying just watch Sunbow and then not.
I go back and rewatch Sunbow now. Convincing me to do it for a podcast is like convincing a man to, you know, put free money in his bank account. I'm on board.
I feel like I'm in the Who Would Win boardroom and somebody is demanding to do Muppets versus Sesame Street again.
We got to re-legislate this a third, fourth, fifth time.
Want new things. New things into my eyeballs.
There are about 5 people who listen to the show who really enjoyed you saying that, Robert Clark Chan. I just want you to know that. I'm one of them, just for the record. I was in that meeting.
People listening to this are confused right now because they're expecting an episode of G.I. Joe and we got sidetracked and you haven't explained that we're watching something else entirely, albeit with some overlap of original G.I. Joe in terms of voice actors and writing.
Yeah. Thanks to patron Jerry Armstrong for suggesting this. What's that?
I said nice.
Yeah, he suggested we do Visionaries. And, I want to do more patron suggestions. So please on Patreon, send them over. We're going to start pulling from those suggestions from y'all more than we have been because we should. And I want to. And you guys got good ideas. Visionaries is a show we absolutely should have done before now.
I had never even heard of it.
Yeah. I was aware of it.
Chan, what did you say?
I said, I'm surprised we haven't done it. When Flint was on multiple times, he told us about like how he, worked on this or basically created it. Yeah.
Right.
I don't even remember hearing about this. I don't remember hearing that this existed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, first and foremost, this is a Flint Dilly jam. So Flint, who's been on the show many times before, is the creative force behind Visionaries. This was also a toy line.
The full title, though, is Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light. That's not the name of the episode. That's actually the name of the show. No,
it's the name of the show. And the name of the episode is The Age of Magic Begins. It's our pilot. This is our pilot episode.
Yeah, which I think we have not watched a pilot episode of something. I mean, unless you count all the iterations and seasons of G.I. Joe. But usually when someone makes a suggestion, Chan goes through and finds the absolute worst sounding one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say, you can thank Robert Clark Chan for the lack of pilots. And to be fair, Chan doing that leads to our confusion, which leads to better episodes, I think.
Here's the thing. Fine. The intro to this show is so long that it's I don't know how there could ever be any confusion. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. It's also the most convoluted thing I've ever seen.
Look, I'm just going to be honest. I had a hard time following what was going on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I just want to be honest.
It's not hard to follow. It's just truly convoluted for no reason.
Yes.
And I'm saying that as someone who, like, I watched this and I was like, okay, I see. I like this. I mean, I liked the voice acting. The writing wasn't bad. I think if I was a little kid, I would be like, oh, hell yeah. Animals. They turn into animals. Mm-hmm. But then everything had about two layers too many to it.
You know me, and you know that two layers is like 14 layers too few. So, you know, like I'm a maximalist. I'm like, pile it on. I want to be assaulted by ideas.
You want hats on hats?
Oh God, I love hats on hats. want endless hats. I want hats in between. I want endless hats in between two mirrors that reflect even more hats. Like the things that this show does wrong, I'm pulled along by the fact that just like, okay, well, here's six more ideas. Go.
And six more ideas and six more characters.
Yep. And let's take every aesthetic that has existed for the past 800 years in Western culture and just fling him at the screen.
this is some really next level stuff. I'm not gonna lie. This is some heady. This is like,
Ray,
you know what I'll say?
Thundar the Barbarian. You should not have been confused. Okay, here's
the
deal.
The general plot did not confuse me. The litany of characters who all look exactly the same.
Okay.
Confused me.
Yeah. I actually did write down at some point. I'm having a hard time keeping these characters straight.
Everybody's got different colored armor. They're wearing wacky ass helmets. You can go like,
I can keep track of it all.
No, at some point it seemed like there were like 15 of them, and even if I could keep them straight, I wasn't sure who was good and who was bad, because like the voice acting is great, but some of the good guys have bad guy sounding voices, and some of the bad, like every once in a while you'll get a bad guy that's like, oh yes, and I'm like, yeah, that's a bad guy. But then other times it's like, oh hey guys, and I'm like, wait, is that a bad guy or a good guy?
Yes. So you can understand where I got confused partly along the way. I don't even think anybody is mad at me for it now.
No, confused by I thought you meant confused by the plot.
No, I got the plot. The plot is very straightforward.
But I will say this was I had never heard of this. 1987, Sunbow, one season, 13 episodes. So I must have missed it.
I mean, yeah, it is too much. and also, I believe I think the thing that tanked it was that the toys didn't sell well. If you had never, you have never heard of it, but you watched this and went like, oh, this is to sell toys, right?
Yeah.
Like the toys came before.
And we'll get there, but like when it comes down to what these characters actually are and have and do, I felt like it was like, there's an old wizard and he's like explaining it and he's like, and then you'll do this. And I was like, uh-huh. And then he's like, and then this. And I was like, okay. And then we're going to add on this. Okay. I don't know. And then this. And now you have a staff. And there's a chest plate. And there's an animal. And you turn into that animal sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But some of you are water animals. And some of you can only change when you're in the water. But then on Tuesdays, you have to eat a sandwich.
Yes.
The sandwich is what threw me.
Hold on. Like, there are multiple points. I'm like, okay, well, this is a lot of exposition. I'm like, okay. Now we're reading like the first 60 pages of the player's handbook and trying to figure out what class of character we are. And we have to pick our spells. And like, this is not stuff you do on camera. You do it off the air.
I mean, no joke. I think the like intro explaining what happens is 2 minutes long.
It's so long.
And it's not even like, because this was in an era when like there were two ways to get information out. It was all packed into the theme song, like it does with gummy bears and, oh, they learned the secret of gummy bear juice. Or like they just have really ham-fisted conversations at the beginning. Like, oh my God, you guys, I didn't think that the world was going to be destroyed and we were going to have to save it. This does neither of those things. This basically shows a prologue that reminds me of like a Terminator movie or some shit.
Kinda.
Like it's just like one day on an advanced planet, everything stood still. And then there's like 2 more minutes of what exactly happened and what they're doing about it.
I mean, it's so Thundar.
Okay.
And like this is perfect for me. This is what I always ask for. Is like give me a ripping theme song and put all the exposition right up top.
Jake, can we hear some of it for the people at home?
Yeah.
It is a time when magic is more powerful than science, and only those who control the magic control destiny. They are the visionaries.
I mean, what more do you need?
Yeah. So like the backstory is that there's a really advanced scientific race. And then one day, some sort of magical EMP, like three suns all line up and just wipe out all technology. So I hope no one had a pacemaker.
Oh, no. Oh, you're done. All died. They died horribly. Yeah,
real bad. I hope no one was like on an operating table at the time with their oxygen going, their mechanical oxygen machine going. But everything stops. All cars stop. Mm-hmm. All drilling equipment stops, which then for some reason crumbles an entire building.
So, yeah, NBC tried this, calling it Revolution. And they did at least one season that I watched and got bored of, with the idea being, and in this case, it's a far advanced technological Star Trek kind of, you know, civilization where they had like many, many decades of peace. And then the power goes
years.
Out.
7,000 years.
A long
y'all.
Time is 7,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the power goes out and all of a sudden tech is replaced by magic and people don't believe in magic.
Yeah, and which to be fair, neither would we. Like this part. I mean, I'm gonna be upfront. I liked this show. I thought that there was a lot going on, but I enjoyed it. But I thought that this was realistic. Like all the technology stops, and people are like, "The fuck is going on?" And then for a little while, they like scramble to adjust, like we all would if this happened. And then there's a crazy old man that's basically like, "But magic exists," and everyone's like, "Fuck you." But I'd actually kind of be into this. Like if I mean, not the mass deaths that would happen, but like if all of a sudden someone was like, hey, bad news, your cell phone doesn't work and it will never work again. The good news is you can make fire spells. I would take that trade off.
I want to see if I can catch this because it's a bit of peas and carrots in the background. But when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, I love this.
The controls aren't responding. I've got to make a crash landing.
Can I just say right now, I wrote in my notes, Chris Latta in a role that will surprise you.
Okay, right in here.
Signal the end of the age of science and technology.
You got to tell me what I'm hearing there, Chan. I unfortunately, yeah. I cannot make it out.
There's some dude in the background who's like, oh, great. What is this stuff? As the sun is destroying them and burning them all to a crisp.
To be fair, I think that would be your reaction, Chan.
Oh, 100%. That's why I loved it. I was like, oh, my God. There's me.
Well, yeah, you're just like, ugh, is it the end of the world?
About oh my goddamn God. Time.
7,000 years and I was born to see this bullshit. To be fair, you get 7,000 years of peace and cell phones. Like, that's I don't awesome. Know. I would take it. I would take it.
Yeah, you're saying you would trade electronics for magic, right? Like, if I was one of the magic havers, I don't want to... Because not everyone gets magic automatically, which sucks, because that means that there are just some normies that like one day ago had streaming services and cell phones and laptops and were kings of the world and refrigeration. And now they're like, you mean I got to go like kill an animal and salt the meat because we don't have refrigeration anymore? Like,
I don't know. I think of all the sweaty incels who would be put off by that. And I'm kind of on board again.
This is 100%
the incels, right?
How dare you? I'd be trapping my cats that I've cultivated in my backyard, and I would be eaten for days.
This is the King Arthur version of Atlas Shrugged. Very clearly, there's a libertarian impulse here that, like, well, you know, like everything goes away, and you're like, only the really strong, cool people get the magic.
Yeah.
It's weird that Flint Dilly would be writing something libertarian.
How weird.
So strange.
It is everyone, every character has a slightly misspelled King Arthur name. Like there is Mordred instead of Mordred.
Yep.
There's Merklin instead of Merlin.
The first time I heard that, I was like, did you just say Merkin?
Merklin for the record.
I had the captions on and I was like, Mordred?
Yeah, Mordred? I watch everything with captions for this reason. Can I just say that so there's a very, very, very long intro that's explaining that these three sons line up, which again, like I appreciate the fact that they feel the need to explain it. They could have gotten there by just being like, one day all electronics stopped working instead of being like the three sons of Prismos lined up and blah, blah, blah. After 7,000 years.
That's magical.
I mean, no, yeah. I appreciate it. I'm just saying for a kid's cartoon, no kid would have questioned it if they had just been like, okay, let's all start off on the same page here. Electronics don't work anymore. Instead, they write this very elaborate backstory of 7,000 years of technological harmony. And now, you know, like it does when one gang is killed, all of these people start cropping up to proclaim themselves the rulers. And my favorite part is this part where there's like some scientist who's trying to figure shit out. And he's like, okay, I invented a catapult.
Ah, yes.
Which
please.
Runs on, is powered by guinea pigs. Which, first of all, a catapult is not electrical and it's not electronic. Huh? So you don't need to alter a catapult for any reason. But the fact that it's powered by guinea pigs
makes it better.
Is insane because it would have made much more sense if he had been like, okay, we miss our electronics. So I like designed an electrical fan that's powered by guinea pigs. But no, they took something from medieval times that has no electricity involved. And they were like, shit, how do we work a catapult without electricity?
I have created a guinea pig powered abacus. You will all worship me.
To me, this 100% sounds like Flint turns in the script and like, network note, we just need something to... show us, don't tell us about, you know, like people trying to struggle to figure out what to do without electricity. And Flint was like, all right, here you go. Fuck you.
Because I love this.
Well, since we no longer have electricity, I have invented a catapult powered by guinea pigs.
Bong. I love that.
It's so ridiculous. And the king or whoever he is not happy.
Yeah. As well, he should be. It's correct.
No, I'd be pissed too, to be fair. To be fair, I would be pissed if they brought me. So this thing that's already mechanical, just to be clear, you now powered with a lesser motor. Mm-hmm. Great. Executioner, and it also, here, I got a job for you.
It introduces us to the great trapdoor bit.
Okay, so here's the deal. Well, we're introduced to the big bad, right? His name is Darkstorm, which is maybe the coolest name of any big bad that we've had in any series ever. I'll go ahead and put it out there. That is a great name. Darkstorm. It does not track on any level that it would be a real name of a real person, and I do not care at all. But Darkstorm is holding court. Because he's an evil, like, overlord, and Merklin, the wizard, shows up to him, and I go, he says, I want to be your mage. I want to introduce you to magic. Science no longer works in your world, obviously, and no technology. I will be your mage. And he dumps him into a pit, because Darkstorm does not believe.
Here, to be fair, yeah, so Merklin is like, here's my resume. I'm a wizard.
Yeah.
You're going to need me.
Here's and my then, LinkedIn. It doesn't work.
Darkstorm, like, appropriately is like, my dude, I think you're off your meds. I'm going to dump you in a trapdoor.
Yep.
But then Merklin goes to, like, the good guys and is like, hey, I'm magic and here's proof. And they're like, oh, shit. Proof.
See, like, that's the thing.
Give the bad guy the proof, too.
Yeah. Darkstorm, I think, jumped the script a little bit. You got to find out the proof first. You go, you say your magic, show me.
No,
or you go in the pit.
I think it's on the magic man, because when he goes before the good guys, even before he starts talking, he's like levitating orbs and like making.
He's learned his lesson by then.
But like, it seems like he should have gone in with like being like, hello, my name is Merklin. And then like big explosion of magic. And then, by the way, that was magic in case you couldn't tell.
Hello, sharks. I have a proposition.
Today I'm asking for a 50% stake in my magic company.
Oh my gracious. Love it all. I do like that Darkstorm, you know, there's a big window, there's a big crash, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, I believe now. So it didn't take a lot to show him, but you got to show him.
Dude, you know? He makes like a fucking like sea monster dance in the air, like a fake sea monster hologram or something like that. You're telling me if some crazy old man in robes came before you and was like, hey, Ray, check this out. You wouldn't be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I'd love it. No, I do appreciate with the bad guys, though. A real Flint Dilly moment. Let's just call it how it is. There's a scout with a cobra fang. Let's just call it what it is. It's a hang glider.
It is not a cobra fang.
It's the same.
Not everything
principle.
Not everything is from G.I. Joe.
Whatever it is.
It's a janky ass thing.
He's a scout and he's like coming towards the window with urgent news. He's like, can somebody open the goddamn window? And nobody opens it. So he smashes through it. And it makes me laugh so hard. I legitimately laughed out loud for longer than is appropriate at this moment when he just smashes his way. And that window is like 30 feet up in the chamber. So he kept falling after that. I loved this moment more than I can express.
This is such a great Panic at the Disco moment. Haven't you people heard of opening the goddamn window?
what I also love is that he crashes at the feet of his overlord, and he immediately just turns his head up and starts being like, here's your message. First off, be careful. There's broken glass everywhere.
Yeah,
that's... And I'm dying.
Wait,
I'm
but
done.
Who... Okay, here's my first who this moment, because who is he delivering this news to?
He's delivering it to Lord Darkstar. Darkstar.
Okay, so just to follow this logic... Merklin the wizard went before Darkstorm first for some reason, like even though he couldn't. Because throughout this episode, I was just like, man, why are you making evil guys wizards? It's like the whole like just expel all of Slytherin like theory. Like, why are you letting them in if they're in Slytherin? They're clearly evil. But like, so he goes to the bad guys first, Darkstorm, and is like, I have magic. Darkstorm dumps him into a pit.
Right.
But then he like gets out, I guess. He somehow.
Oh, frees- it's an easy pit. It's an easy pit.
Okay. So he like frees
himself.
He drops
people in the pit for fun. He drops this scout into the pit and says, clean yourself up and then do your job afterwards.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'd
yeah.
quit. I'd quit personally. I would walk out right there.
It's a bad job market, man. There's no more electronic jobs. But then
we all need hang glider pilots.
Then Merklin goes to the good guys. And for some reason, Darkstorm has like sent a spy, and now the spy goes back and he's like, hey, there's an old wizard. And for some reason, Darkstorm is like, oh, okay, the old wizard that was just here a few minutes ago. Okay, I guess let's listen to him now.
And for the record, this scout is Mort Dread. That's his name. I'm just doing my matrix right now that I created after the fact.
Yes.
Mort Dread is the bootlicker.
Yes.
He's the one who does that.
Arthurian legend, Mordred is the son of
Morgana.
Morgana. And he is kind of weaselly, not quite as weaselly. He's a little smarter because he's the one who sort of sets up the whole like Guinevere is going to want to bone a sexy knight instead of a doughy king.
I mean, who wouldn't?
But yeah, they make him extra weaselly in this, and I appreciate it.
He's when we get to the payoff for him, it's delightful.
I legitimately thought he was going to be a weasel. I don't know.
I mean, he's not far off. So here we go. Here's the deal. There's a shrine. It's like in a mountain, and whoever gets to the shrine gets the ability to have magic. So now we have two, maybe more, I don't know. But we have many, many, many characters that we will cut between with no rhyme or reason whatsoever. And we will cut between a host of about 55 characters to am I wrong? Is it 155?
It's
a lot of characters.
I don't even know. Yeah, it seems like there's probably like 10 good guys and 10 bad guys, and then they sort of whittle it down to like 8 good guys and 8 bad guys, maybe. I don't know. It's a lot. There's a lot.
And there's a lot. I'm going to, my notes here, 1, 2,
pretty similar.
I mean, it is the number of toys that are in the line. So.
There are 14 characters who make it to the final stage and get a power because I chronicled
them
all.
Many.
Yep.
It's so many.
14.
I will say in keeping with the trend of the 80s, there are two women and the evil one has brown hair.
I love it. Yeah, that's real.
They are always swarthy women in 80s cartoons are always the bad ones. And the good one is, of course, blonde because they're always blonde or redheads. The good ones are blondes or redheads. The bad ones are brunettes.
Jeannie, you seem a little bitter about this.
Dark haired brunettes. No. The bad ones are much more interesting. If you said which is a more interesting character, the Baroness or fucking
CoverGirl?
CoverGirl? Yeah.
But, hey, even Scarlet or Lady J.
I'll defend Lady J here all day long, please. But the Baroness is that good. That is a fair point.
Yeah. Give me the, I'll happily take the brown haired villain role. They get all the good dick.
Wait a Destro.
Minute. Take Destro dick over instance? Flint. Thank you. What are we talking about?
No, I mean, the Baroness can disguise herself as anyone and get whatever dick she wants at any time.
To be fair, if you think Baroness has never had also Flint dick, you're fooling yourself.
I'm going to say the good guys want bad every once in a while, even the Joes. Also, I forget what Destro looks like under that mask. I hope he takes it off when he's boning.
He's like burned and disfigured.
Is he? In the movie, he wasn't.
Wait, is he?
I mean,
I don't know that history.
I don't think he is. I thought it was literally just that he wears it to honor his ancestors. There's never anything disfiguring about it.
So you're telling me the dude wears a metal mask all day long, takes off his mask at the end of the day, and you're like, oh yeah, that stinky, wrinkled mess of flesh is something that I want to kiss.
I bet he has good grooming habits.
Oh my God. I just found 15 things you don't know about Destro's mask. And it's going to take a long time to go through. So I'm sorry, guys.
Google it.
This is from Googling it.
He's telling other people to Google it so that we don't waste time from our fabulous cartoon that we're currently
What is
doing.
Our time worth at the end of
the I don't know. Why don't you ask your wife?
Oh, no, I know the answer there, and it involves a lot of expletives. After his face is disfigured by Duke when he tried to use a flamethrower only to have it backfire by Duke firing the Baroness's pulse weapon at him, Cobra Commander heals his face with nanomites, giving his face a silver metallic appearance.
What? No.
This is the movie. This is the movie version.
Yeah, that's not.
The live action movie version.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Because an ancestor of Destro was convicted of witchcraft and forced to wear a hideous metal mask that marked the nature of his crime. And this is from the Skeletons in the Closet, Flint Dilly, Cthulhu episode of G.I. Joe Sunbow.
Yeah. Right.
I can't believe I was the one who remembered this.
No, I never heard of him being disfigured before.
No, but Chan I said he wasn't disfigured. He wore it to honor his
that was it.
Ancestors. I was right.
It was an ancestor. Gina, I am, this is a Gina and Ray versus Chan moment. I am on your side here.
Didn't do anything. Chan said he was disfigured. I said he wasn't. And then you Googled it. I was right.
Yeah, but I didn't think he was disfigured. I wanted to prove you right.
is that how that went down?
That's a thing. Don't look it up. Anyway, the point is we're here now. The mountain is full of traps. A lot of traps. Like dumb traps.
Yeah, and once again, like when we were talking with Buzz about the D&D episode, I love a good Indiana Jones. Yes. Like you've got to go through these tests in a building. I will never not enjoy it.
This is a D&D inspired episode. Rest assured, 100% yes.
I don't like the artifice of it because it is so, you know, like, hey, here's a level one module that we just pulled off the shelf. Why don't you run your characters through that?
Yeah.
Like I said, it's the other things that are like pulling me through. They're like, okay, well, you know what? That's the guinea pig's pretty funny. I'll stick around for a few more minutes.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
It is a time when those who control the magic control destiny. When spectral knights battle evil darkling lords.
Knights of the magical light. Visionaries with magical powers they fight. Visionaries.
Theater cycle will stop the darkling lords.
Skyclaw, attack the spectral knight. May the light shine forever.
Visionaries, knights of the magical light.
Visionaries from Hasbro.
Back to G.I. Joe.
No, but to be fair, there's like a big trap where it's like a bunch of sliding like blades or something. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And the one guy, the hero, is just like, just go forward. I timed it. We're good. And then they're like three dudes are like, no, I'm just going to leave.
No, he didn't. Okay, first of all, it's not, there's no blades. They're just, it's just like those stomper things like from Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And he says he timed it, but then later on they admit that he's the fastest runner and he just runs through. Whereas I would have like waited, like seen it, gone one at a time. It would have been slow, but he just like a fucking dork. And he like runs like a loser too, by the way. Yes. He just like sprints through and he's like, and first he's like off, almost tripping.
He doesn't time it. He never says anything about timing it. Here's what he says.
Besides, if I don't make it, I'll never know what hit me.
That's his logic.
That's not bad.
Actually good logic. He's basically saying I'll die instantly.
Yes, which is bad because all you had to do was walk up to one of the stompers, wait for it to go up, and then just take a step.
I know, but I guess this is supposed to show that he's brave.
It's supposed to show that he's stupid.
No, because later on when they're talking, like when he's being given his attributes, it's like for being the fastest runner.
Okay, let's talk about Merklin.
We'll talk about it when we get there. We have a few more. We have some questing to do first here. We will get to 97 characters getting powers in this episode. I do want to say we get to the cliffs and the bridge gets cut down because the bad guys realize like the less of us that have power, the better. We're already across the bridge.
No,
cut down the fucking bridge.
I think that they don't realize, because at some point Merklin says, hey, calm the fuck down. There's enough magic for all of you.
Yeah,
so I think when they first go in, they are under the impression that maybe like only one person is going to get magic, or only a couple people are going to get magic.
It's reasonable.
I do totally
like that there was the character who ended up on the wrong side. He makes wings out of leaves.
And flies across
the cavern. What is happening on this show? I love it.
Not a fan of this one, because I saw him like, I'm going to look, turn this problem into an opportunity or whatever. And like rips off little fronds. And I'm like, dude, you are wearing a fucking full metal suit of armor. A 15-pound baby could not be lifted with those palm fronds.
Listen.
And you are, 800 pounds just stomping around?
Chan.
Chan,
he used the power of corporate speak. And let me tell you, that will move billions.
He used the power of positive thinking. Also, you don't know what gravity is like on this planet. You don't know how strong those palm fronds are.
Yes, I do know the gravity, because everybody else is walking like a normal goddamn planet. And the power of the palm fronds is the power of air displacement, and the size of them, they're barely bigger than a dude's arms. All right. Like even that dumb hang glider, I was willing to let that slide, even though it was weirdly shaped and way too small. Fine. But this thing,
Listen, so we get back to Mordred, who is our favorite hang glider captain, for the record. He decides to try to deceive, to slow down the knights that are chasing Darkstorm. And so he runs. I don't even remember. I didn't even write down what he said. But I just remember he goes in there like an idiot. And it works. It works. They're so dumb they believe him. Yep. Like, what is wrong with you?
I suppose it's supposed to show that they have good hearts, and you know, if someone's in trouble, they're going to go help them. I'm gonna let that one slide, because
really, that's the one.
Yeah, because I would totally let that slide. If they didn't investigate, they are immediately the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Please, now I'm just gonna say right now, this is G.I. Joe, and the Joe team is there, and like Buzzer from the Dreadnoughts runs in saying this stuff. No one's gonna believe him. Nobody, with good reason.
No, isn't this the part where they just hear someone yelling for help?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they know it's him, and they go anyway.
No, I don't think they know who it is.
You don't think they know it's him?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, then fine.
And in that case, like the rules of good guy dumb are, if someone is calling for help, you need to try and go help.
Yeah. Also, the lines. Lines of loyalty aren't completely set yet.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
We will learn this later. They are not set at all.
Yeah. It does, which, you know, like, I actually kind of like that, because in reality, let's just say right now, there's an EMP that wipes out everything. No, there are no friendships anymore. Like, there are no established friendships, because you know some people we know would immediately turn evil and start trying to, like, steal other people's shit.
Look, if we lost power tomorrow, that means there would be no more podcasts, and that means neither of you would ever talk to me again.
I mean,
I'll just keep it real.
Yeah, honestly, if I had to leave the house, even if there was, like, recording equipment still functional, but the internet stopped working, so I would have to go physically to where you were. I would not do it.
That's too much work. Mm-mm. I get it. How about the golem statue? This is straight out of D&D, and I loved it. And the fact that the bad guys enrage the golem statue, so the good guys turn and say, just attack it. Just fight it. And it runs away because it doesn't know what to do when someone fights back.
Yeah, it's just one dude, and he does a full-on Muppet run at the guy, like, whoa!
I loved it.
And the golem's like, what? What the fuck? This guy's crazy.
Look, pure D&D, pure Flint Dilly. This moment could only come from one person in history, and thankfully he was the one writing this episode, because I loved this. This made me so happy. So happy. Yeah, without question. Now, okay, Dark Storm. Apparently, what do I got here? Okay, there's a bunch of skeletons, and they refer to it as an art gallery. It's a torture chamber. These are bad people. That's what I'm trying to say. And then the skeleton leans over and somehow functional air comes out of his body of a skeleton and he blows out the torch, putting them in darkness. And I was like, what is happening on this show?
That's what skeletons are there for.
Yep.
They're there to blow out your candles and
don't torch.
They don't have lungs.
Scooby-Doo.
I'm still on board. I loved it.
Yes. Can we talk about the fact that at some point the good guys are like, hey, you know what we should do? Jousting arena. We should put a jousting arena in some shit. And then like someone else is like, oh, what about a botanical garden? And then they were like, are you gay? Like it was the most like they were so disgusted in a very specific 80s way with the fact that someone would suggest, we could have people fight in a terrible, terrible arena, even though we have no electricity. And if someone gets seriously wounded, they'll probably die. Or we could have a lovely botanical garden, which would help soothe people's nerves. And everyone immediately is like, the fuck? Are you talking about?
I'm going to play this and we can decide whether or not this is latent homophobia from the 80s.
We might have room for a jousting arena near the market square.
A good idea, though I fear some of the citizens would rather have a botanical garden.
Botanical garden? You must be joking.
I think it's not homophobia. I think it is like 100% Flint being like, fucking hippies, am I right?
Gardens?
Like, it is 100% a hippies versus, like, real citizens thing.
look, I think there's a lot of homophobia here. I'll just put it out there. It's the 80s. Come on. This was a pretty standard thing. Some people would put a greenhouse here. Am I right?
But they do kind of save it. Like later on, they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, hold on. Hear the other one and see if it's more or less present here.
What about a jousting arena and a botanical garden?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know what? I was expecting it. And I did not find it.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we're good.
Yeah, I think that second one is what saves it. I think the first one was like, I think if some people were to vote, there'd be some crazy fucking hippie leftists that think that flowers are more important than protection. And then like later on, they're like, wait a minute, do we have to vote? Like, can we have all the room in the world now that we've gotten rid of all the electronics.
You guys, what's next? Chicks running the show? Am I right?
He's like, there used to be a Radio Shack there, but we don't have radios. I guess we could build both.
I mean, that actually is like one of the best things about this new society, right? Like it would be, there would be so much room to erect things.
You talking about penises, right?
Yeah. Come on, dude. What chance do we have? So let's talk about the Lady Knights, because this is the big Lady Knight section where the two of them are fighting, the good one and the bad one. And they end up in
Virulina.
Virulina is one of the best names I've ever heard of.
It's something else.
It reminds me of Spirulina.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're fighting sort of, you know, a little like a duel, and they both end up in the water. They both end up in the drink. There's a giant kraken down there, and the bad one swims through, and like they both see it at the same time. She kicks her, the bad one kicks the good one, and then ends up going to a portcullis that's very small, pulls it down behind her, and says, deal with this kraken. And what does the good lady do? Robert Clark Chan, what does she do?
She pulls the plug. She
pulls the drain on the tub, somehow dumping the kraken, which would not fit through that drain. I do not know what happened.
It's magic. No,
I feel like that's an octopus thing, honestly, is that if there were a big old plug in a hole and it was going down, the octopus would be like, wait, what? That shit's there the whole time. God damn it. And he would start going down it. And have you ever seen those videos? Just go to YouTube and find like escaping octopus and like there's this teeny asshole.
Oh my God, I would never watch that.
The octopus is just like, all right. And sometimes it takes a while, but like eventually they're like, the entire damn body goes through. So yeah. This all checks out.
It's very, very upsetting. So, look, this is the point in my notes where I just wrote, there is so much character work happening, but I can't remember a single one of these people.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say, like, the at the end, when they're giving the powers, and he and he's basically, and the wizard is like, remember that thing you did earlier? That's why I'm making you this. Like, I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God they're showing us flashbacks of what each guy did.
Look, it's a pilot that spends 10 minutes flashing us back to the episode we just watched. This character, okay, the next thing, I'm watching the scene right now, and I'm using my notes to put the Matrix together. His name is Kravix, and he cut down wasps' nests at other characters to make them go away, and then stole their weapons when they dropped them. Yep. I know this because he is a scavenger. Mm-hmm. It will come up later.
See, is it weird that, like, because he's like, ooh, sweet, I can sell this for a lot later. It seems like if you're in a booby-trapped castle on your way to attain great magic, the last thing that would be on your mind is like, later on, I can sell this.
Gina, have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Right, I guess that's true.
Have you ever played any video game?
Anything.
Yeah, but he doesn't know what magic he's going to get. Maybe he's going to get the replicating money magic.
So he will have money on top of money?
Yeah.
I don't see what the problem is here.
That's how billionaires happen, Gina.
They steal things from other people after dropping wasps' nests on their heads? Yep.
Almost 100%. Every single time, yes. A lot of other stuff happened. Look, there's just a lot of things that happen between characters and I don't know who they are. And and it's not helpful. I'm watching a scene, I'm rewatching it right now, where a guy drops a bunch of stalactites on another and then gets chased off because he pulls out a bola. I don't know what's happening on this show. A lot of stuff happens and I'm just going to move forward to the point where Dark Storm by himself finds a room where there's like 9 characters hanging from the ceiling. And he says, I will cut you down, but you have to pledge loyalty to me going forward. I know. And as Chan said, and I think rightly so, boundaries are skewed here. We don't exactly know who's falling in what side, but when you run into a room of people who will die if you don't help them, in this situation, they will join your side with loyalty if you cut them down.
Here's the thing. If you're already like a bad guy, wouldn't you just like wait to be cut down and then be like, sucker, I lie? I mean, I guess he's as good a leader as any of them to follow.
Yeah, yeah, why not? Why not follow him at that point, right?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, here is the rationale of one of these dudes.
You got good food in your castle?
The best.
Then I'm in.
I mean, how is... That's great. That is exactly what...
To be fair, that's the Gina answer right there.
Wait, what's the Gina answer?
Do you have great food in your on your side?
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Then I'm in.
I do like that they give him like a sort of slobby voice. Like he's like, maybe that was just in my head. Play it one more time.
You got good food in your castle?
The best.
Then I'm in.
Yeah, they make him sound like a big fat guy.
The thing that must be said here is like almost every single voice is somebody from G.I. Joe. Like almost everybody. And so it's very recognizable. Even if I can't place the voices, I can place that this is an actor from G.I. Joe, and it messes me up. Also, the very next scene, the bad guys place an ambush for the good guys in the food room, where one of them jumps on a table and says, look at me, I'm Mr. Meeseeks. And then the other ones jump out from giant statues and they all fight. And I'm like, yeah, I'm into it. I like this.
I like any dining room scene in it. It always reminds me of like Pan's Labyrinth, where he's like, don't eat any food because that monster with no eyes will then chase you, type of thing. Or like the scene in the Chronicles of Narnia book, the very first book when the first evil is discovered and there's all those old kings and queens just in a suspended state of animation. Something spooky is always going to go down if there is a dining table in a spooky castle.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, Dirk the Daring from Dragon's Lair taught me you can trust dinner tables in dragons' castles. Every single time. Now, I like this because the wizard actually, everyone's giant melee. Everyone who's left is fighting. The wizard shows up and he says, "All right, y'all, you made it. All you got to do is find your way out of this room." And one guy's like, "Hey, there's the one door we haven't checked. Let me just run at it with my head."
And you the door blows up. And, it's not the same guy that just ran through the ram posts, is it?
I could never tell you. I have no idea who is who. There are too many characters to sort through here. The door explodes and they transport all to the magical throne chamber where they all get magic and we have a title. The big thing I have to say here is somebody refers to them as visionaries. And I'm here for it. They call for the holy light, which hits all of them in their symbol patterns. And we have a 7-minute long sequence where 14 people get powers.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. And this is where there's way too many people already. Now they're each getting powers, which is fine. And then Merklin is like, "I'm going to give you each an animal sigil on your chest." Okay, great. Yep. I'm following that much. And by the way, each of those animals like represents your true soul. Okay, great. Yep. I'm following that. Yep. Oh, and you can turn into those animals.
You can turn into them. Okay,
great. If you really need to, you can turn into them. But it uses magic and you keep track of this magic because you also have a staff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And as the magic drains, if it drains too much, then you need to return to the cave. There are so many steps to this.
Although some of you do not have staves and you will discover you have magic later. That's which right honestly, too. This should have been a two-parter. We have too many people. We should have spread it out so we don't have to like cram it all in. I mean, kudos, because like in terms of efficiency, yeah, you've knocked out your entire toy line in 21 minutes, but also it's real hectic and crammed and, you know, and everybody's dipping their staves into the pool, which feels that's definitely a freaky sex thing.
Without question, yeah.
That is.
I also like cookie. If you use your magic too much, you have to come do this quest again.
Yeah, I was unclear on that.
Holy shit!
I was unclear on that because I was like, because then he shows them sort of like a way out of the cave. So I'm like, oh, does this mean that whenever they need to re-up on magic, they can just sort of use the back door? Because it would be insane if they had to do this every time.
Well, to be fair, I think doing this without people hindering you, probably not as hard. I don't know. If you had powers, maybe?
I just need to talk about this.
Merklin, what do you want from us in exchange for your magic?
Occasional tasks.
Blowjobs?
Not even. Blowjobs is the least of it. There is so much weird sex shit here. Merklin is the entire time he's being real cagey about why he's giving this power to everybody. He gives it to good guys and bad guys. He's got some shit going down.
I like it.
And I 100% believe that it's some crazy ass sex cult.
That's 14 people, 2 women. So put that together in your head.
Also, by the way, according to the Wikipedia page, the women are the only ones that don't get staffs. They get shields, which is some bullshit.
That is some sexist bullshit right there.
Yeah. Also, because I think we should hear what each one turns into.
Yeah, here's the deal. But I've got your list here.
But this is what I'll say. First of all, there is one animal that's not real, and that I do not like either.
I didn't like that either.
It's like, yeah, here's an earth animal. Here's an earth animal. Here's a made up creature.
Yeah,
here's an
earth animal. I did not like it, especially because there's only one. And it wasn't like either established that like, oh, you're going to turn into a griffin and you're going to turn into a 3-headed. But like, he's like, okay, so you're a lion. You're another fucking normal animal. you're a normal animal, and then you're this thing that only lives on our planet. Even though every other animal on this planet is a recognizable Earth animal, there's one that's not.
Here's the deal. Let's go through them all and let's have conversation about it, because I wrote down each character name. I tried to write down why they got it and what animal it is. So starting with Arzon, he's the guy who flew earlier, and he is an eagle because he put those leaves on his arms and he flew. Okay, I'm okay with this one.
Sure.
Yeah, wait. This is that was the first one? I thought the fast guy was the first one.
The fast guy comes a few later.
He's third, yeah.
Okay, yeah, this was the most A to Z one. It's like, hey, you made wings, you're a bird now.
Right.
And I have to admit, like, that's probably, he probably gets, I mean, that's the coolest one for sure, right?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Let's go through them. So second off, we got Sindar, who climbed really good. So they gave him the strength of a gorilla.
Yeah, okay.
And he's a bad guy, right?
Well, I could not tell you.
Okay.
Some of them are obvious, and some of them I just don't know. The third one is your one, Gina. Witterquick. He had the speed to get through that one trap, so they gave him the power of the cheetah.
Yeah, this is also a cool one, too. This is Cheetara.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
Having super speed is not bad. If you get that.
The kind of lamest one is the gorilla, I think.
You get super strength. I mean, look, super strength is good.
I guess that's true.
You know, Kravix, who is the guy who stole the axe from the guy. So he gets to be a phylot. What the F?
Okay, so this is the one fake animal.
It's not a real animal. It's a scavenger animal. You could have been a vulture. I mean, it's right there.
When he said, like, the only creature here that scavenges, I was like, vulture. And then he said that, and I was like, fuck you. You just changed the rules.
This doesn't seem fair. And that's also like, yeah, he outwitted a group of people and stole their weapons. I think give him, like, a merchant, you know, make him, like, a lizard tongue. I don't know. Something cool you could do there.
The merchant animal that we're all very aware of.
A beaver. A beaver is a merchant animal because right?
Wait. No? Are we still talking about the guy who stole stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be there are other animals known for stealing things. Oh, yes.
The monkeys in Japan.
The raccoons.
Yeah. There's a number of them. I mean, if they wanted to keep it with scavenger, then the logical thing is fucking vulture. But what even is this creature?
Prismosian pterodactyl-like flying scavenger, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. You didn't look that up.
It makes me wonder, like, what, because it's just so weird to have one fake one, especially when there already is a bird of prey that does the same thing.
There should have been multiple. I would argue that the beetle, what is it? It's like a specific kind of beetle.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Is probably made up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Beetle, yeah. No, I guess that was just an adjective.
Yes.
A beetle that scampers. Never mind. But yeah, there should have been at least several of them that were fake animals.
Look, here's the deal. Only one of these animals that I put a question mark after, and this was it. So let's move on. Ektar, he's the guy who sensed the ambush in the food room, so he gets the fox totem.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Like, because he's clever. This tracks.
I'm fine with that. Like, but also, what did the fox say? I don't know.
I guess. I'm trying to think of, like, in battle, what you would use each of these for, and I guess, like, fox would be like, okay, you're kind of sneaky.
Yeah. You can,
like, squeeze into small spaces. Okay.
I'm good with that. Now, Mordred, my hero, the guy who crashed through the window earlier, is the bootlicker. He's also the one who set the trap earlier, and they made him a beetle? What did you say it, Chan? What kind of beetle?
A scampering beetle.
A scampering beetle because of his bootlicking. That feels like a public call out to me more than a superpower. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, and yes. What's the attribute that this correlates to?
Bootlicking.
So a beetle and a boot
literal
licker?
Boot licking. Yeah.
Apparently,
this seems too close to what Mordred is. Like, if it like boot licking and like you know, like isn't his also something?
hold on. Are we? Oh, are we getting confused? The dude, Kravex is the one with who's the Phylot, and his power is fear.
Oh, because yes. he's usually afraid, or he makes other people.
No, he's
afraid.
Using fear.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Why not?
Okay.
Why not Phylot?
And then Mortdrid is the scampering beetle.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what, like, a beetle.
The weird thing, though, is Mortdrid's power is flight. Because he's
weird.
The one who's riding.
Weird.
It's called a Sky Claw, apparently, not a piece of shit hang glider.
I don't know.
But
I don't know. Look, moving on. Feral. Feral has the ability of tracking. So got the abilities of the wolf. I think that might be the coolest.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah. Now we get our two ladies.
This makes me mad.
Evil Virilina attacked underwater. So she's a shark.
Shark's good.
No, yeah. But here's the thing. It's only, then you're like fucking Aquaman. Your powers are only useful when you're in the water. How much water is on this planet? How many water fights are they going to get into?
A lot.
Here's the thing. Her power is disease. So like the power is separate and like
sense.
Sometimes related to the animal.
You get powers and a base animal. That's
So the power is like what the staff is offering? But the chest plate is your animal?
Not possessed of a staff, she is capable of driving the vehicles. What the fuck?
Oh, right.
What the
ladies don't get a shot. But no, but like if she were to transform into a shark, is she an air shark does it only work underwater? That's my only question.
We have to watch more episodes of this.
We do have to watch more episodes. You know what? Honestly, I would watch more episodes of this.
I'm sure
you would.
And we also have the good lady, Galadria. She was defensive underwater. So she's a dolphin. Yeah. Okay.
That is some bullshit.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
I thought it was cool. Dolphin's third smartest creature on Earth, according to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
They're getting smarter. They're just like, hey, you're like a shark, but lamer because you can't attack.
Yeah, her power isn't like she gets more intelligent. Look, her power, by the way, her power is healing.
You know what? Healing in a battle is the most useful.
Look, Lady Healer is a D&D trope. I'm just saying.
I know.
It is. But and to be fair, Galadriel is the only one who had an undefeated NFL season resulting in a world championship. So maybe slow down a little bit.
I don't know what that means.
That's for five of you, and you're welcome.
Lexor, who's a coward, his literal ability is cowardice. So he becomes the armadillo, which doesn't sound that bad.
Cowardice should be weasel.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. This
possum?
Armadillo, his power is invulnerability, which is kind of cool.
Not bad, yeah. Not bad.
I don't think the powers are related to their animals.
Sometimes they are.
I don't like these. I don't like these loosey-goosey rules that are going on here.
It is what it is. It is what it is. Cryotech. Showed great strength and endurance, and so he becomes the bear. Okay.
It's weird that this is before like cryo became like a more common term for like cold stuff. So like cryotech sounds like you have the power of freezing.
Yeah.
And no, just the name sounded awesome in 1987. Whatever.
Yeah, why not? It is a good name, to be fair. And Cryotech Engine's a thing right now. But we also have Recon, who's a stealthy mofo. So he gets the power of the lizard. I don't know how that makes sense. Lizards are not stealthy. I see them at lunch all the time.
Lizards are all over the place.
Chameleon. Chameleon makes sense here. Straight lizard does not.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be an animal that's like super stealthy and
a chameleon. I just said it.
No, I mean a better one than that stupid
God
one.
Damn it. We're almost done here. We get Lyric, who was showed a lot of courage. So, of course, they make him a great lion. Another good one. Gotta love
that
the
is
lions.
A good one.
And then finally, our hero, Darkstorm. Who showed great climbing skills and sliminess. And so they made him a mollusk. That seems like a fuck you if ever I've seen one.
This is because this started out as like the most powerful. And I was like, a fucking mollusk, I think, is the worst one, even worse than dolphin.
Phylot might be the worst one, but mollusk is pretty low to the bottom. And this is the leader of the bad guys.
I think mollusk is worse than beetle, I think. Because, like, a beetle, I feel like, okay, you could maybe go fast, you could hide in small spaces. Mollusk, I feel like, just like sits there.
It sits there and protrudes slime. Not great. And here we are, Pokemon. We caught them all. That's 14 heroes and villains. I don't even know. I just wrote here, you can't control your powers. Well, don't be a dumbass. I don't know what that means because I watched this yesterday, but it feels great.
Merkin is all like, you got magical powers, but your animals sometimes are uncontrollable. And dude is rightly like, excuse me? We went through all that shit and we got uncontrollable magic powers. And the Wizards is like, fucking deal.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
also, okay. If you have a staff, if you brought your staffs with you to class today, raise them up, you get extra power. If you, I wrote here, don't have a staff, I don't know, you're fine, LOL.
Yeah, that is essentially what happened.
I like that this dude gave no instructions for use. Like, he was just, absolutely no instructions. It's like going to a job, you know, like that first day on a new job, and like they're sort of just showing you around the place, and all the time in your head you're thinking like, am I supposed to be doing something? Like, what do I do here?
Gina, sometimes 10 months into a job, you still feel that way. I'll just put it out there. Don't worry about that. Totally random number I picked. My point I'm trying to say is that they ask a very legitimate question here. How do we get out of here? Oh, we're just going to create a whirlpool, you idiots. And let's fight at the exit.
Yep, like you do.
Like you do. So magic used only for peace. They said, let's use our magic to create a peace and abundance in all the land. And Darkstorm just turns to the other and goes like, what, LOL? I don't know what you're talking about. Why would we do that? I'm a mollusk, goddammit.
It's pretty great.
He also says, and this is great, he says, let's all agree, everyone in this room, let's agree to only use our magic to help each other. And everybody's like, yeah, sure. And they say, why would you do that? And Darkstorm says, because we're evil, idiot. They have to do it now, and we don't. It's very much resembling politics in the year 2023.
Yeah, this is some solid logic here.
Yep.
I love that this happened in the 80s because this is what we live in today, right? Oh, you had an affair? Oh, you made a lady uncomfortable, Al Franken? You must resign immediately. Oh, are you literally any Republican politician? No, you're fine. We don't hold you to those standards.
Severed ladies' heads in your basement? I guess we'll have to let you go because you said that they weren't yours.
You guys, I don't know what we can do to George Santos. I just don't know.
He is bound to honor his commitments. I am not. It is so much easier to be evil.
It really is.
This has some real big Dark Helmet energy of evil will always win because good is stupid.
Kind of, yeah. And dumb. Dumb for the quote.
Wow. Wow. Way to mansplain that to Gina.
It's not mansplaining, right? Because people at home got very angry. And if it didn't get corrected immediately, Gina would get one like hate message. And I'm trying to save Gina's mentions right now.
The hate message would be from Ray.
Yes, it would be from me. Look, the point I'm trying to make is this eagle guy, he's an idiot. There's a lady in danger who obviously is the Baroness, Virilina.
100%.
And he's the bearer of knowledge, and he still like comes back to save the clearly evil lady. Why would there be a peasant woman here?
I mean, Dumbo? She got over there fast, though. She's Spirulina got over there fast.
She's not a peasant. She has like that big old tall pointy hat. She is a beautiful damsel in distress.
Yeah. You got to know better.
Now, she went for a walk, got lost, fell in a hole. It happens to the best of us damsels that are super hot.
She got stuck in a couch. We all know how this goes.
Oh, dear.
That's how, she's about to star in a stuck porn.
Wait, is that a thing? I was just making a reference. My point I'm trying to make here is, what is it, your first day with powers? Okay, I understand now. Yeah, okay, fine.
But how is it, but this isn't like she, her changing her face is not part of her powers. Like she's just doing this.
No, much she's just like, she whips off her costume.
Yeah.
And she's like crumples like, Jesus, that's some good work there.
Yeah.
Look, skill and talent should be rewarded. It's Viralina. Oh no, you idiot. To be continued. We end on a cliffhanger here in the pilot. Good job, Flint Dilly. I respect you. 1987, The Visionaries, episode one.
Yeah. Another one that it's like right in that pocket there of that golden era of Sunbow, where like you've just got some bonkers premises that I want to just like be like, Jesus, just go away, stop, no, I don't want any of this, and it turns out to be pretty good, you know. This
is not bad. I would not hate it if more people requested us to do, there's 13 episodes, if more people request it, I kind of want to see what else is going on with this.
Jerry, listen to me, keep going, we'll do this. What I would say is, Gina, you're working on pilots to sell to people. Visionaries reboot? Conversation?
I mean, you don't know what I've got up my sleeve.
I know what you'll have in your sleeve in 2 weeks. One, because you're a crazy writer.
Wait, what happens in 2 weeks? I don't get this joke.
You would finish the pilot in 2 weeks, and then I cut that in half because you're very good at writing.
Oh, I get it. That's a lot of hats on hats.
Ooh, I like it. I didn't like it, but then when you explained it that way, I was like, you know what? Gina's not wrong.
It was actually a very respectful comment, it turns out. I know, it's surprising coming from me, but here we are.
Here we are.
So wait, Gina, are you allowed to say if G.I. Joe next cartoon series has reached out to you yet?
You know, they have not. It seems like this is the biggest problem facing Hollywood right now, that no one has the foresight to ask me to be in charge of one of the reboots.
I now understand the writer's strike. Let me just put it out there.
Yeah.
This is obviously what it's been about. Every writer in Hollywood has banded together to say Gina must be on the new G.I. Joe show, and they will shut the city down until it happens.
I kind of feel bad about how many billions I've already lost the city just for my own passion project, but I'll live.
No, it's worthwhile. It's worth it.
Totally worthwhile. Yeah. Streaming, residuals, whatever. Gina on G.I. Joe, wherever the heck it's happening, must happen.
The downside is that they will be bringing in an AI to rewrite her stuff.
Well, to be fair, Gina, actually, I would flip that. Gina, you have to rewrite the AI script, unfortunately. That's not good. You don't want to do that.
Enjoy making half scale.
And that's our show, everybody. Jerry, thank you so much. This was a breath of fresh air. I'm not saying we watch a lot of interesting things on this show. I will say Visionaries is one that I was aware of, have been aware of since the 80s, and never fully checked out. And I appreciate you focusing us in this direction so that we may enjoy. Yes, this was Legion adjacent as far as me being able to follow this much going on screen at one time. I did enjoy putting together a Matrix, so rehashing it, I could go back and understand better.
I this was a good suggestion, Jerry.
Yeah, good job. That's all I have to say. Normally I would make fun of you for having a bad suggestion, but you didn't. This was good. I don't know what to do with myself. Chan, please take the show over.
Y'all want to get some snacks.
Oh, he brought it home.
Bring it back up.
And okay. That is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, talking about, I want to make sure I get it right now, Visionaries, Episode 1, Knights of the Magical Light, episode name, The Age of Magic Begins. We did it. We Hooray. Did it, everybody. And Chris Lotto was in a role that surprised me. A lot of Sunbow actors. Look at Sunbow. What do you want to do? These are delightful performers. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast. You can find us on social media. You can go to patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. And for a paltry sum, suggest things that we should watch. Or go to facebook.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast and engage with us on social media. We're still on Twitter. While that's a thing, should we start a... Oh, I did start a Threads.
Yeah.
I did is like with my Instagram that I created for the show 7 years ago.
Yeah. And over 7 years, I had like 8 threads. Posts.
Yeah.
Hey, did we like sing happy birthday to ourselves or whatever? Cause like,
oh, yeah, it was our eighth. We're in the eighth year of the show.
Oh, my God.
8 years of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. We did it, everybody.
We got to post on all the social media, all the 900 social media sites that we're on now.
We have an Instagram site that I created a second Instagram for myself because I'm trying to get off Twitter. But Instagram is the way to go. And then I created a Threads, but like an idiot, did it with the Knowing account and not the personal account. So yes, this show is on Threads.
Accidentally.
Not Knowing Is Half the Podcast on Threads, everybody. 100 million people in 24 hours. No, it was like 70 million people in one day.
Well, yeah, because it's basically Instagram and Facebook.
Like, because we all think this is the one that's actually going to go, right?
Well, the one that has the most people. Like, you try and get on Blue Sky, and it's like, sorry, you got to wait for an invite.
Blue Sky is bullshit. The fact they won't let me on, you know it's not worth it.
Arguably, much like anything that doesn't have Nazis on it. Like, oh, hey, it didn't have Ray on it. I'll sign up for that.
Wait a minute. Are you saying where you find Ray, you find Nazis?
I wasn't, but I am now.
Fuck. I mean, you're not wrong. That's the problem. God dang it. I know what I look like. I look like that guy who has the alt-right podcast that got 3 people shot in the street. And I'm not happy about it, Chan. I'm very sensitive about this issue. I don't like it. People see me in an elevator and they go, I don't know. He probably voted for Trump. I'm not happy about it.
Maybe if you dye your hair brunette, people will think better.
Yeah. Maybe if I started dressing in old World War II garb I just happened upon at an auction. What is happening right now? Anyway, you can find us on Twitter while it's a thing at G.I. Joe Podcast. But more importantly, find us on Threads at Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Find us on Instagram. It turns out I went through my phone over the last 2 weeks. I have a lot of G.I. Joe pictures I took over the last 5 years. And I am dumping them all on our Instagram page right now. So follow us at Knowing Is Half the Podcast on Instagram. It's very interesting. And if you're there, you might as well. Why wouldn't you? You're here right now. Why wouldn't you?
What else are you going to do with your life?
I mean, not more than that.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information, and we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.